in the world. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. We're going to start with Manspace, Roscosmos version. Bob, a very good evening to you. Three astronauts to the ISS. Who are they and what is the mission? Good evening to you.
Yes, over the weekend, a Russian Soyuz 2 rocket lifted off from Baikonur in Kazakhstan with three astronauts to ISS. This was the launch that they had a launch abort with 20 seconds to go 2 days earlier, which is very rare for the Russians. But whatever the technical problem was, and they wouldn't tell us, they fixed it, and they launched over the weekend and docked to the station 2 days later, and they've got three people on board. One is a Russian astronaut, he's the commander, and then there's a Belarus astronaut, a woman, and they're only going to stay up to the station for 12 days. They're going to come down on a older Soyuz capsule that was launched 6 months ago and bring with them an American who's been up there for 6 months. The astronaut that remains is an American. Tracy Dyson, she's going to stay up for 6 months and come back. When she comes back, what will be interesting, she'll come back with two Russian astronauts, a man and a woman. The woman, and both of those are on a year-long mission. So she'll come back after 6 months with two people who've been up there for a year. And the woman of those two Russians will likely set a new endurance record. Will likely set a endurance record for a woman in space, because I don't think any woman has ever gotten to a year. Several Americans have come close, but she would be the first woman to get a year-long mission in space. But they've docked with ISS, and we move on. There are about 14 people in space right now between the two space stations.
We go to France. I don't recall France is involved with Ariana, but I don't recall independent actions. It looks like they've caught the commercial space bug.
Yes, that's the story here. That's the news. The European Space Agency and its commercial arm, a rocket arm, Ariana Space, has always been heavily dominated by France. France originally had its own rocket and its own space program, and then being French, they didn't want to have to pay for it all, so they convinced the rest of Europe to put together the European Space Agency and Ariana Space and basically help pay for a lot of French operations, though, of course, other nations participated and got part of it as well. So France has always been very much in league with the Ariana Space government-run commercial operation, which, of course, has never made a profit, even though it had 50% of the launch market for almost two decades. Now, Germany has already started to hire private launch companies. It's moving away from that model of the government's rocket company, and so has Spain. And now France has joined the game, and that's a big deal. They've adopted capitalism in space. France is going to award four different rocket startup companies. These are new companies, though one is related to Airbus, but it's still a new rocket company, a new rockets. It's going to issue four launch contracts to these companies worth 400 million euros. Now, initially, the four companies will only get a small upfront payment to help development, and the bulk of the award will only be paid when the company achieves its maiden launch by 2028. Well, what's a big deal is that France is doing this. This signals pretty much the end of the government-run rocket industry in Europe. The Ariana 6 is essentially a failure. It's not a failure. Technically, it hasn't launched yet. I'm sure it will successfully launch. But because of its expensive cost, it's not competitive. And all the nations in Europe really want something cheaper. And so they're slowly walking away from the European Space Agency's Ariana Space Company and setting up private companies within their own nations to do this. And I think that's good. In the end, we're going to have a competitive launch industry in Russia. I'm sorry, in the Europe, which will end up competing with Russia and the United States and India and China. And that only can do good things for the launch industry, John.
Unexpected surprises. SpaceX is tourism. Explain, Bob.
Yeah, well, this isn't unexpected. This is, of course, to be expected. The Boca Chica launch site they have at the very southern tip of Texas, and where it's launching Starship Super Heavy, is resulting in a big boom in tourism in that Brownsville area. It's not only bringing tens of thousands of jobs and billions of dollars of investment capital because of the actual space facility itself and the subsequent supplementary industries that develop around such a big operation, but it's also bringing in tourism dollars because people go to the location to get close to see the launch. And this is a big launch. This is an unusual rocket. So, of course, a lot more people want to go. And so this is something that there was an article was in a Texas local paper talking about the big tourism and industry dollars that are coming into Brownsville region and what the governments, local and regional, are doing now to try to encourage that. And so I posted a link to it on Behind the Black because I think my readers should see this and should read it. Keep it in mind whenever these anti-Musk activist groups sue SpaceX in their attempt to shut down the Starship and Super Heavy. They always claim that Boca Chica is harming the region. One group actually has a name, Saving Rio Grande Valley. And it's all a lie. It's a total lie, and not only is the local regions thrilled by what's going on here, but it's doing wonderful, good things for the region. So I highlight that for that reason alone, John. Of course, seeing what's going on, if you have any real estate in South Texas near Brownsville, you've invested wisely, it appears.
I have one anecdote. A couple of guys I know that I've interviewed on the show went through the Darien Gap, traveled all the way to the Mexican-Texas border, for another kind of story. But eventually they wound up going to Boca Chica on their way to Brownsville on the Mexican side. And what I learned from them is that on the Mexican side, there's no development. You can get as close as, you know, the tower's right there on the other side of the river. And that Mexico's done very little to anticipate what we can expect to be tourism on the Mexican side. So it isn't just Texas that's going to prosper here. But meanwhile, there is that other trouble on the border. So I think it's early yet. We go now to the UK, where we have had questions about their understanding of the advantages of space launch systems. Are they getting organized, Bob?
In the wrong way, in the totally wrong way. As you just implied, the United Kingdom has been trying to promote commercial space within the United Kingdom. And one of the ways they've done that is they have two different spaceports being built in Scotland. And those spaceports want to be used to launch rockets. In addition, they gave permission for horizontal rocket launches from a Cornwall airport with Virgin Galactic. But what all these space entities, private, have discovered is that the UK Space Agency and the regulatory administrative swamp in the United Kingdom is not prepared to issue licenses at a reasonable pace. The red tape has been horrible. It destroyed Virgin Galactic as a company because of the delays, put a bank bankrupt in them, essentially. And the spaceports have been delayed at least a year in getting their first launches off because they haven't been able to get regulatory approvals. And so what does the UK Space Agency decide to do? Does it decide to streamline its operations, put everything in one place so when you apply, it simplifies things, you know where to go, you have one office to go to? No, the UK Space Agency has proudly announced that it is opening up four new offices in four different cities, and it's getting itself a brand new headquarters, so it'll have a total of five regional offices spread out across the United Kingdom. And this is going to only, I think, make things worse, because in this digital age, you don't need an office in every city to do this kind of stuff. Everything's digital. You can do it all from one place, and if you have it in one place, it makes it very easy to streamline, much easier to streamline the red tape. By setting up four offices, it's very clear the UK Space Agency isn't interested in space. It's interested in building a bureaucracy, an empire for the bureaucrats involved, and that's it. And that's really bad for the United Kingdom. I think down the road, this is not a good sign at all for the future of space in the United Kingdom.
NASA, Israel, working together on what, Bob?
This is a radar satellite that NASA is working with India's space agency ISRO to launch. It's called NISAR, and it's basically designed to look at the Earth for research purposes, radar. Radar can give you a look of the surface in a way that other technology does not. And they've been working together, and they were going to launch this spring. And in fact, the satellite, which has been built jointly by the two nations, they have different responsibilities, was delivered to India and is being prepped to go launch on a GSLV rocket. India is providing the launch services. But in doing the environment testing to prepare for the launch, they discovered that the antenna dish that's going to deploy on this satellite was getting heated too much by in the thermal testing during the environmental testing. In other words, it needs an extra coat of reflective material so that it would not overheat. And so what they need to do now is ship the antenna back to the States, where it can then get that additional coating, which means the launch is not going to happen in the spring. It'll likely happen in the second half of this year. I raised the question of why this happened. Obviously, environmental testing on the ground before launch is designed to find these kind of issues. But I always wonder when you find them, if something wasn't done wrong in the construction itself that should have been checked. And we know that JPL, which was the one that built the antenna, has many management problems involving sample return mission, involving the Psyche probe, involving other missions as well, Europa Clipper. And so you wonder if that might not be contributing to this problem, John. We'll have to wait and see.
A detail, Bob, about the problem. I mentioned Starliner has had that same problem. And although it's not an item today, Boeing, right? That's Starliner. Boeing, yes, has made a move at the executive level and replaced its boss. It might be that they're, you know, the old saying in baseball, you can't fire the team, so you fire the manager. It might be that that's what they're doing. But I'm wondering how much that boss had to do with the space program. Because Starliner's, as you just said about JPL having management problems, it's unacceptable that there should be errors coming out of those shops, and there was with Starliner.
The whole Boeing operation has been a disaster for the last 5 to 10 years. There's been nothing good coming out of the main management at Boeing, and it's not just the CEO, because he came in relatively late to try to fix things, and he did nothing to accomplish that. They have been major problems all along the line, not just in Starliner, but in numerous airline and military contracts that just indicate major, major management quality control problems throughout the company. And changing the CEO is a good thing when you're trying to fix things. You got to start somewhere, but this is a major, deeper problem that the company is going to need a major overhaul to fix it.
I remember the scene in Eric Berger's book about the original SpaceX, the building of the Falcon back in the day. And there was a scene in which the CEO of SpaceX goes and visits one of the big space companies. I don't know if it was Boeing. It might have been one of the other big ones. And she was standing by herself on the floor of this spotless, vast warehouse with the best equipment around her. And there was one guy working in the whole floor. It's a brilliant scene, because you get back to SpaceX and it's a grubby, fallen-down place with broken windows, and everybody's piled on top of each other, and they're beavering away to make what we know now to be super heavy. And therein is the story in one scene of what happened to American space.
Blue Origin is very similar. Blue Origin has for 5 years been touting its new Glenn rocket, and they periodically will show pictures of its assembly facility where they're putting the rocket together, and those pictures never show anybody working, or maybe one or two guys. No one's ever there. And you look at any picture of a SpaceX facility, and it's buzzing with activity all the time, buzzing, buzzing, buzzing. And that's just indicating something's not quite right about management when things are quiet in a facility.
Right.
You got to move. And being moved means you got to be working.
We're doing anecdote, because someday they'll write history books about this. Quickly, Bob. Yes. Boom. Can you do it in a minute? Boom.
Yes, easily in a minute. Boom is a startup airline company that wants to market a supersonic jet, a 12-passenger supersonic jet for commercial passenger flight. And they actually have contracts with Boeing, with Japan, and with United to sell passenger jets. They have with United, they've already signed a contract to sell 15 12-passenger supersonic planes to Boeing. But they've been under development. They developed a 1/3 scale prototype jet. They unveiled it 4 years ago for testing, and then nothing happened. I think it had to do with the Wuhan panic, shut them down for a while, but they've now they began taxi tests last year, and they've now done their first flight of that prototype. The goal here is to provide supersonic flight for commercial passengers, mostly, I think, probably international over the ocean, but there seems to be a market for this, and these guys are trying to do it, John.
Bob Zimmerman, Behind the Black. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.